This week on Are the Air a Whole Show features the eclectic 5-member Northwest Indiana band Hellpounds discussing their unique folk roots country infused sound heard on their debut album Nocturnal Dive that weaves a variety of musical influences with stories and lived experiences. Our spotlights on Chesterton Art Center's Art After Dark Outdoor Gala Rooted and Rising Friday, June 12th.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, WVLP 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is heard every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org. And is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Also heard on Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Media. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. We'd like to welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight returns again from the Chesterton Art Center, the marketing director, Maya Borstein, and he's going to tell us about several exciting things they have coming up, about the gala, and also about classes. Micah, welcome back to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Thanks for having me, Larry and Esther. How are you today?
Yeah, it's a good day, Micah. How are you?
I'm okay.
So tell us what's going on. We're doing the gala, and of course, there's other exciting things if you want to throw in there about the 116 project also, but tell us about the gala.
Yeah, so we have our annual gala coming up in June this year. It's called Rooted and Rising, kind of celebrating the aforementioned expansion that we're undergoing right now, that we're getting larger and we're able to do so due to community support in a number of ways, right? Not just the financial contributions that made it possible, but the people who make it necessary for us to grow. So this year, Rooted and Rising, the gala is going to take place at the Chesterton Art Center, much like it did last year. The exception being that we have two buildings, one on either side of 4th Street now. So this event is going to be an indoor-outdoor event. There's going to be food from Impulso wood-fired pizza. There's going to be dancing. There's going to be art making. We're going to be in our existing building here, right, on 4th Street, but we're also going to be in 116 across the street. And we're going to be on the street, right, under the tent, under the lights, under the stars, having a good time, celebrating the arts and this wonderful accomplishment that we and the community of our patrons and our students have accomplished together.
So, Micah, what decisions did you make to improve this year's gala after reviewing like the successes and challenges of last year? So what can we see?
Yeah, I mean, for those people who came last year and experienced our gala last year, I think the most notable difference in my mind is the fact that we moved it back from May to June. So as an evening indoor-outdoor event, you're always at the mercy of the weather, but I think taking it from May and putting it in June, we can't guarantee, but we're hoping for a little bit warmer weather outside.
Right.
Yeah, and I think the one thing, too, is we did away with the two-tiered pricing. We just went with a single flat pricing for the whole event.
Yeah, correct. So tickets for Art After Dark are $100. That's going to get you into the event, having fun, socializing, supporting the arts, but it's also going to mean that you get a dinner from Impulso wood-fired pizza, and access to a silent auction with all sorts of wonderful items from local businesses, but also from local artisans.
And go ahead and hit the dates at the end of the show, but tell us that right now so we know and how they can get tickets.
So Friday, June 12th is the Art After Dark event. I think there's some details to be worked out still, but 6 to 10 p.m. I think is a pretty safe window of time to block out.
Very good. So moving on, you have, of course, the 116 project going on, but the other thing you want to talk about is what's coming up for youth programs and actually any summer classes coming up.
Yeah, so every year, you know, our summer classes, our classes change in the summer to accommodate sort of families and their need for having young artists in programs for maybe longer periods of time for week blocks. So we have our youth and teen summer programs, which are for artists, young artists, 5 to 18 years old. And it's an opportunity to explore a broad range of artistic disciplines in a supportive environment that encourages creativity, collaboration. Each week-long camp is organized around a unifying theme. And in that unifying theme, students will learn new skills and techniques. As you move into the teen age group, those programs are a little different in that they're really about skill development and like sort of more of a studio practice, helping maybe develop portfolios or specific skills that these teens would like to develop.
So it seems like there's two different types. There's these multi-week programs, and then there's shorter programs as well.
Well, no, all programs are week long. It's just you know, the teen ones are a little bit more about addressing developing young artists as they move. You know, maybe they have chosen that they're more interested in the arts and want to develop specific skills. But they're both our summer camps and our teen studio intensives. They're both week-long programs with some exceptions that are noted, being like for holidays. All classes are roughly around $150 for the week for non-members, and then members get a discount on top of that. Members of Chesterton Arts Center, that is.
Which makes a really good point to become a member of Chesterton Arts Center when you want to get discounts. Also, we're not touching on it today, but you might just mention we have a whole range of adult classes also.
Yeah, well, throughout the year, we maintain our schedule of adult classes, which we post every month. You know, that's they run monthly on our website. You could also drop by the center. We publish a monthly class bulletin. We're always offering sort of our standbys, you know, our favorites from our students. So ceramics, glass classes, and of the like, but we're also trying to pepper in some new and exciting experiences. Generally speaking, you might see those as 1 or 2 day workshops focusing on a specific media. For example, we have some coming up in the near future where, you know, you might learn pet portraiture with watercolors or specific materials focusing on like the use of watercolor and ink drawing together. So those are always great to keep an eye on, and they change on a month-to-month basis.
Well, in our last few moments here, give us the dates of the gala one again. Sometimes we used to call it an ungala because it was outdoors, and any website and things like that.
Yeah, so the website is chestertonart.org. That's going to direct you to all of our programming, including Rooted and Rising, which is on Friday, June 12th this year. And we hope to see everybody there to support the arts and celebrate Chesterton Art Center and our 116 expansion across the street.
That's Micah Bornstein, Marketing Director for the Chesterton Art Center. Find out all the information at chestertonart.org. Thank you so much, Micah, for coming on Art on the Air Spotlight.
You bet. Thanks.
Thanks, Bunches, Micah.
Art on the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program on Sunday is brought to you by Emberforge Consulting with end-to-end expertise in learning strategy, design, and implementation. Emberforge turns your organization's knowledge into impact. To learn more, visit emberforgeconsulting.com. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art on the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com.
Hey, this is Josh of The Empty Pockets, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
We drank all that cooking wine last night. Yeah, we drank all that cooking wine last night. C'est la vie. Say no more, and open that bottle of the Port Noir. She could make a mean coca vine, but we drank the ingredients, made love on the floor. as we drank all that cooking wine last night.
We are pleased to welcome Hellpounds to Art on the Air. Hellpounds are five energetic bandmates: Josiah Tipton with vocals and guitar, Marco Sassman, banjo and vocals, John Eddy on cello, Colleen Fallon on violin, and Zach Sassman on bass. Their music is eclectic and weaves a variety of musical influences with stories and lived experiences to create thoughtful and relatable music. They independently produce their album Nocturnal Dive. It features conversations and stories of amorous adventure, anxieties of fatherhood, and the future. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome to all of you. It's so nice meeting you. Thanks. I just heard so many wonderful things from James Neary. I'm very excited to say hi.
Shout out, James.
Well, like how to start out our program is we always like to get the origin story of our guest, or in this case, guests. And so we're going to start with Marco, and then we'll move from one person to another until we get to the point maybe you come together as a band, and then we'll kind of throw it out there. And then after that, we'll just ask questions. Also, we'll sample music. Marco, tell us how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Oh, like how far back are we going?
So far, like childhood.
Childhood.
Like
okay. So me and Zach here, we're brothers, and I'm the younger brother, so... you know, I saw him participating in music and having bands and stuff, and I always wanted to be a part of it. And I picked up a banjo because I lived with my cousin who worked at a pawn shop, and he brought a banjo home one day for like cheap. Some guy just brought it in, and he gave it to me. So I kind of just learned how to pick it when I was 18 years old or so, and then just kept going from, you know, different bands, a little bit of touring when I was younger with Colleen, actually. And Josiah and me and Zach, I guess, we all went to school together. So, we just kind of hit it off and did the Hellpounds, I suppose.
So how did music, were you playing in like elementary school and middle school? Did you have a music program at school?
No music program. I did play drums though in like a church band. I think I started in middle school.
Okay. Well, since we'll go to your older brother, Zach, and take him on next and give his origin story, which may overlap a little bit there. Zach?
Yeah, a little overlap. Like he said, I've been doing music ever since I was a kid. I went to a concert when I was probably like 10 or 11 years old and was blown away by the experience. I was like, I've got to do that. So I went to, you know, elementary school, and I got all my friends together and said, you're all in my band. Here's what you're going to do. Then I started learning guitar, and I've played guitar in bands since I was, you know, middle school, high school. Once I got to college, I started studying music, ended up not pursuing that for very long, about a semester or so, but took a little break from college on till my mid-20s, formed another band. So, and then a couple other bands. So I've just kind of, it's been my whole life. I love playing music. Even if the band never goes outside the living room, like a lot of the bands that I've been in, I just love doing it. Always have. So
thank you, Zach.
So it wasn't, it was a concert. So what about family? Are they musical?
I was like, my mom loves music. Both my parents do. My mom loves to sing, but she never really did it, you know, in any sort of performance capacity.
Right.
But yeah, it just kind of happened organically that way.
Well, we'll move on to Josiah. Give you here your chance to tell your origin story.
Sure. Yeah. I've always, I think since I was 10, I've been trying to write lyrics. My first instrument was drums. I think when I was 13. And I think one of my biggest influences when I was a kid was my brother, Luke. He's my oldest brother. I have four brothers and one sister. And Luke was in, he was in like a garage rock band called the Suffragettes, and it was just the coolest thing. I thought it was, as like a 12-year-old kid. So I asked him to teach me a couple chords on guitar, and I think that was after I'd already started playing drums. So he taught me a couple chords, I kind of just ran with it, and I was finally able to start putting music over my lyrics. And yeah, just kind of kept writing songs. And in college, I joined a little bar band. We were called the Local Boys. And it was me and the guitarist would switch. I would start the show on drums. He would sing, and then we would switch. He would go on drums, and I would sing. And It was a lot of fun. We did played a lot of Misfits, early Pixies, the Stooges, and Rolling Stones. Yeah, it was a good time. And I think it was 2020 or 2021, I want to say. I was getting, I think it was my booster shot in COVID for the COVID vaccine. And I ran into Zach. So I hadn't seen Zach since high school, which was, I think I graduated in 2013 or something. And he had graduated a few years before me. So I hadn't seen him in years. We were all wearing masks. And I saw him. He was also getting his booster or something. And I was like, I think I recognize that guy. I think I know him. And we're both not the most, like, I guess, outgoing social type people. So I was sort of like, should I say something? I don't think he's going to say anything.
I was also, yeah, saying the same thing in my head.
Yeah. But, yeah, we hit it off. We were like, oh, man, what's going on? And then, we all linked up. And, me and Marco, we had hung out a little bit after high school. We just started playing again.
Great.
Pretty cool. Yeah. So yeah, here we are now with our first record, which is pretty exciting.
So exciting.
Well, let's move on to Jonathan, and he can tell us about that. He has to haul around that cello all the time. That's going to be next to drums, probably the next hardest thing to set up.
Finagle.
No. I mean, drums definitely number one, but I feel like upright bass would be.
Well, yeah, it's true. That's true. It's like having an elderly parent. Hard to get them in the car. Hard to get them out in the, bad like that. I feel the worst one probably is the harp player. So,
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's a good point. So my mom is a pianist. That's how I started. She required all of us, me and my two sisters, to play an instrument, which default is the instrument she knows. So piano, I hated it until third grade when we lived in Cleveland. And I still remember, I don't remember what she looks like. I remember her name, Mrs. Rea. She took, there was no orchestra in that Cleveland, in downtown Cleveland school. And she was like, okay, we're going to make an orchestra. She took like that. And within a year, she had 100 people in that school. And I went through a couple things, flautist, saxophone, and she finally threw me on the cello. And she's like, let's see what you got with this. And I fell in love with it. So since third grade till about 23, I was a concert cellist, well, learning, and then a professional concert cellist the last few years until I got burned out. And then a decade later, Marco shows up, and I had been friends with him for a few years, and he's like, hey, you want to be in a band? And I was like, sure, why not? I haven't played in a while, but sure, why not? And then I fell in love. He reminded me of what I fell in love with the cello, and that is making music and just the joy of just being able to produce music. And it doesn't matter the quality of it. It's just being able to produce music on an instrument. I forgot about it. And he reminded me of it. And I'll be forever grateful for that. And then I think it was like 3 or 4 months after they had initially started the band and I started playing with them. And I literally had to remember how to read sheet music. And I'm like, okay, how do I do this? Like, it had been a long time. But since then, I have had a blast with these guys. They've made me sleep on the ground in music festivals that we play. And it is absolutely the best time of my life. Totally love it. And I'm super excited for our new album. Josiah is a just absolute prolific singer-songwriter. I am an absolute. This is not a skill set I have. I have many skill sets. This is not one of them, but that man can write music. Like, it's great. He shows up with this stuff and we're like, okay, let's make a song with it. And it's awesome. I love it.
Well, the synergy between all of you is just really infectious. The album is fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you
for it.
Well, we finally have the other member of the group here that I guess you call her the beauty of the group. Colleen, tell us all about you.
Hi, I am the fiddle violinist fiddler in Howlpounds, and I would say that, like, if you want to go all the way back, I've always been like trying to figure out how to play a song on an instrument since as far as I can remember, and then as soon as I could, I signed up for violin when I was 10 with our public school. And so I was in the orchestra programs all through school and just kind of kept saying yes to every opportunity that would come. Mm-hmm. And especially in high school, by the time I got to high school, I had played electric bass and I started a punk band with some of my girlfriends. And in high school, I did the musical pit orchestra, and I was doing some fiddle stuff. I was going to the Old Town School folk music in Chicago, doing sessions there, just listening to people and kind of figuring out how to improvise. I went on to study music education at Roosevelt University in Chicago, and I had an awesome violin teacher, Teresa Frame. Shout out to her. She's she was a violinist in the Lyric Opera Orchestra, and she really helped me kind of pull my violining together and help establish my sound. And then in the meantime, when I was in college, I was in a punk band called Last False Hope, and we... that's where I met Marco at a music festival that we played at. And we had been playing together with our friend Jeff Shepard. And I don't even know how many years we did that. It was for a while, though. I think I've just gained all of these like different kinds of experiences because I like to say yes to music projects. I really like working with other people. And not necessarily like being the star of anything, but I really like working as a team. And so being in something like an orchestra and being in a band is I love it. So, yeah.
Anybody else write lyrics other than Josiah, or is he the lyricist?
Zach writes a little bit. We yeah.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. It's mostly Josiah, though.
Yeah, 100%.
Josiah. Are you the father in Red Wing Blackbird?
I am, yeah. Oh, I have a little girl.
Such a beautiful song. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
And, well, of course, we'll be listening to that later. What I wanted to find out, now you kind of touched on it, Jonathan, probably more than anyone, is the origin of the group. You talked about little bits of you coming together, but whoever wants to jump in, talk about how you guys came together, you know, to actually form it and how long you've been together.
I think we've been together for four. So, actually, my daughter is sort of the metric that we use. She's four. She was born right around the time we started. So I think we've been around for about 4 years now. And after college, Marco and I had kind of kept in touch, and we had always sort of talked about music, and he would send me some stuff he was working on. And I was after I linked up with Zach at getting our vaccines, we were like, I had reached out to Marco again. I was like, "Hey, I saw your brother. You know, what's going on? It's been a minute." And I don't know how the conversation went to us, like writing, you know, starting a band. But I think it just kind of sparked from there. Marco, do you remember that?
Yeah. I remember. I was at the North Pond in Chicago. It was a restaurant in Chicago. And when you messaged me, it was on the day of my wife's 40th birthday. That's the only reason I remember.
Oh, man.
So 4 years you guys been together, but this is, you know, and we'll listen to like a couple of cuts on your album, your first album. What brought you to like say, hey, let's make an album?
We had a bunch of songs. We were like, let's make a record.
I mean, early on, it was definitely something we all wanted to do at some point, just trying to get the resources together and, you know, the material together.
We've had maybe 3-4 songs on Spotify. I joined later in the band. I'm not even sure when. I had recorded Strange Bird with them. Marco had asked me. And then maybe a year later, I think Marco had asked me if I just wanted to be in the band. And I live in Illinois. I live in the western suburbs outside of Chicago. And so like I'll drive out to Valparaiso, but I really love it. It's not a bad drive. You get used to it. It takes like the same amount of time to get to Milwaukee, or no, I mean, not even like Chicago. Sometimes it takes that long.
Chicago, yeah.
Anyways, but, we had a few songs on Spotify, and it was definitely time to add to the collection.
I so enjoy your vocals on them. When you come in, it's just like, it just brightens. And not that everything's not bright before, but it brightens it even more.
Yeah, those vocals are actually my wife, Sarah. She did those vocals for us, which we were very lucky.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Yes, the irony of that is that she had a head cold
when she recorded us?
Terrible head cold, yeah.
But, oh my gosh,
it sounds so good still, though, right?
Oh, like, it does. Was great. It sounds so good.
I keep trying to get her on stage with us, but...
Does not.
Yeah.
Our, eventually. Our town person.
So, when you're, how would you classify your music? You know, we call it Americana, or what exactly genre do you, or is it kind of genre busting?
It's sort of, I call it like indie folk, Americana, bluegrass, you know, it's kind of a hodgepodge of those, I would say.
Can you add another description?
Country.
Some of the newer stuff we're working on, I think is there's a lot of country influence.
Yeah, we just kind of take all of those things that you listed and kind of just mash them all together. I mean, having a banjo, you know, puts a lot of bluegrass in people's mind automatically. Right. So that kind of gets us there. But I don't. Some of us are. Some of us aren't really super into, you know, bluegrass type music. But it kind of just takes like, well, there's a little bit of punk in there. You know, a lot of rock influences that we all have in our background kind of bleed in as well.
I would say my personal fiddle influences for this music would be like Punch Brothers and Trampled by Turtles mixed together.
Right. Well, that was something I was going to ask the rest of you, and you already hit on it, Colleen. Who are some of the musicians that you look up to in the area, not only in the area, but, you know, in the big professional world?
I was always a big fan of Wilco. I forget what number record it is. It was the one with Misunderstood, the opening track. Kind of alt country. That was a big influence for me. And like Bob Dylan, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Any of the rest of you?
I was the first one in the... Go ahead, Johnny.
No. You first. I'll go after you.
Okay. When I was first learning the banjo, mostly what I would learn was songs from Sufjan Stevens, like the Illinois record, and then also a fellow named William Elliott Whitmore. Those were probably my two, in terms of at least banjo, those were my two largest influences.
I'm the outlier. I'm 15 years older than the oldest person in the group. So, like, most of my influences come from Gen X kind of stuff. Also, I was, you know, trained as a classical musician, so, like, I swear to God, I still am. I'm still going to get a shirt that says "Follow Your Heart" written on it, because when I first started joining these guys, they were like, "What do I do with this? What do you want me to do with this part and this part?" And they're like, "Well, follow your heart." That is terrifying to somebody that has been told what to do for your whole life. Like, Here's the music, make it sound like this, but awesome. Like, you don't improvise. Like, they were like, just come up with what you can. So. I have two parts of it. Like, I have a lot of grunge in my background as far as just what I like to listen to, but a lot of what I listen to as far as what I come to with the cello is like classical music, like profoundly like Bach and Vivaldi and Beethoven. Beethoven is absolutely my favorite. So, but that doesn't really, a lot of that doesn't translate into what we're doing here. So they'll like, I'm coming at it from a standpoint of, like, I know music theory and what I can do. Like, give me the key, and then I'll take the root structure and do what I can with it. But most of the time, they come with me, and they're like, okay, why don't you try this little run? And I'm like, okay, cool. And then I'll take that and make it, like, really cool. Like, that's – I need something as a base because I'm not good at improvisation. So a lot of my musical inspirations really don't apply to what these guys want to do. And I'm really a fish out of water, but I'm absolutely fine with that. I absolutely love the challenge of trying to mesh what I've taken in my life experience and mash it with what Josiah has created with his songwriting.
Yeah, it's really nice because your background is play it and then play it again exactly the same and then exactly the same and exactly the same. So,
yes, 100%. Just refine the gold until it's polished.
Right.
Yeah, I think the classical music background definitely puts a lens over like the two string instruments in the band. Well, the two like bowed string instruments in the band. The lute players. Sorry, we're lutists. John, just let you know. But yeah, I would say that those classical influences, like they definitely exist in my playing, and where I'm trying to like get rid of my vibrato sometimes on certain notes. But I would also say that my dad is very into music. He always had music on growing up. and he is not Irish in any way, but he loved Celtic music. And so I listened to a lot of Natalie McMaster, who's a Nova Scotian fiddler, like a lot. We would have the same CD on in the car for years. And so those ornaments that those Nova Scotian fiddle players were using, particularly in her music, that kind of has just ended up seeping into the way that I'll ornament things specifically. Yeah. But yeah, oh,
that's so beautiful. So
you are so good at improv, by the way, Colleen. You were just
Colleen
amazing.
Is a master.
Yeah, like we're listening when we were recording our album, listening
noodler,
to her,
master noodler.
I don't care what you call it; it was amazing to listen to. Like you would just come up with stuff on the fly. It was amazing to listen to.
Wow! So we would like to listen to Red Wing Blackbird. Josiah, can you give us some history on that, please?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm a dad. I have a 4-year-old, and I guess to be blunt, I don't think the world is in a good place, and I think we're heading to a pretty disastrous, even more disastrous place, you know, with climate change and everything. And I just don't want my daughter to, you know, live in that world. But I think she's going to have to deal with the repercussions that, you know, the decisions people have already made. So yeah, it's a song that goes out to my daughter, and you know, hoping that she makes the best with what she has.
Well, let's take a listen to it right now. This is the Hellhounds today, and we're going to listen to Red Wing Blackbird.
Red Wing Blackbird, perched on a cattail, I hear killdeer way out in the field, and the seagulls after, plow and tractor, sowing the fallow like my grandma's quilt. Once my home, now I'll raise my own, but I do worry for my baby girl. When I look at all that stacked up against her, what's she to do with this world and its troubles deferred? Red Wing Blackbird, won't you look after my baby daughter when she takes on the world? I'll do my damnedest to be an example, to help her get prepared for what's in store. May she hold on to laughter without rose-colored glasses, may she be faster than the wolves at the door. And in the silence may she be a voice, in the darkness may she be a bright light source. On a cattail, like it's the staff of the goat walkers, I'll come to you with my humble appeal. Red winged blackbird, wash over my baby. Red winged blackbird, perched on a cattail, like it's the staff of the goat walkers, I'll come to you with my humble appeal. Red winged blackbird, wash over my baby girl. Yeah, red winged blackbird, wash over my baby. Yeah, red winged blackbird, wash over my baby. Watch over my baby. Mm-hmm. Watch over my baby girl.
And we're back with our guest today, Hellhounds, and that was Red Wing Blackbird on their album Nocturnal Dive. And you're listening to Art in the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM. And on WVLP 103.1 FM. And after a brief pause, we'll return to our guest today on Art on the Air. Art on the Air listeners, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest on our show? Whether it's an artist, musician, author, gallery, theater, concert, or some other artistic endeavor that you are aware of, or a topic of interest to our listeners?
email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, BREC.com. And now we return to our guest on Art on the Air.
Josiah, I just love the sentence, faster than the wolf at the door. The whole song is both tender and fierce, and it's just such a good pull between both of them. It's a beautiful song.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. It's turned out to be one of my favorites on the album, you know, and mostly because of Sarah's vocals that just, they're really moving. She really killed it. She also did some of the artwork on the back of the album. She did a lot of like the hand-drawn stuff, which, yeah.
I was wondering how the art came about. Was it a collaborative? Did everybody input, or did you know what you wanted? I mean, it references all the songs. I know that, but how did you put
this
together?
I had this idea to do, because I used to love those I Spy books as a kid, and I always loved the artwork for those, and I wanted to do something that was sort of reminiscent of that. Having everything that sort of, you know, there's one item that references one of the songs, and then on the back of the album,
you have cattails on there, and that's the red winged blackbird on the cattail. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and on the back of the record, we just sort of continued that motif, and Sarah just kind of drew other random items that continued to reference, you know, the songs. But I asked her one day, and I was like, do you think you could do something kind of basic, hand-drawn? She's like, yeah, I think I could. And it was like the next day, she filled the Google Drive folder full of ideas, and it was great.
So what's coming up next for you guys? Not only performance, but, you know, you got this album, you've launched it, and what's next? Okay, we got this album. Are we ready for number two? Is that kind of somewhere down looking ahead?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think we're already. I'm. It's in my mind. You know, the style and some of the track listing. I know we haven't really talked about it as a band yet because we're already, you know, kind of fresh off of this one, but. Yeah, I think stylistically we're heading into going to be talking about it pretty soon. And then we got some shows coming up. Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, no, that's actually what I was going to ask. Are you touring with it beyond our area?
Not touring, no. We just have some local shows. We're playing Burnham Brewing. Is that, I think it's May 2nd.
Right.
We're doing the Michiana Humane Society. There's a benefit show. In I forget the name of the park. That's on the 17th, I believe, May 17th. But yeah, mostly just local shows.
You just summer festivals and things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're doing the Highway Fest in was it Sugar Creek? I think Marco or Zach would know better.
Yeah, the location hasn't been announced, but it's always like kind of near Lafayette with a Highway band. They're kind of like local. Blues band that's been around forever around this area. Yeah. So they've been kind to us for a while.
I'll have to keep you guys in mind. I do the music arrangement for Chesterton Art Fair, and we're always looking for, you know, we already have 2026 booked, but I mean, you know, if you're interested, it's an outdoor thing, but it's at the Dogwood Park here in Chesterton and under the pavilion. So it's kind of simple, but yeah, it might be something I can connect with on that. So
how did the album, do you all collaborate on what songs go there, and are you telling a story by the placement of each of the songs on Nocturnal Dive?
I think that was kind of one of the difficult things putting this album together, because a lot of the songs there really isn't a very consistent theme. A couple of songs have similar themes, but I don't think there was one thread, like through line on the whole album. So I think all we did was like, we all got together and we picked our three or our five favorite songs. And then we compared our lists, and whichever ones overlapped, that's kind of how we picked the ones that were going to stay on the album. And there was one song that didn't make it, but maybe in the next one.
On the cutting room floor, as they say in film. Yeah, so.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was a good song too.
Well, there's your incentive for album number two. So it's basically just you guys and your mixer, but. Like, and I think Esther kind of touched on this, but any plans maybe to go for a more extended thing? I mean, we didn't really touch on what you actually do to make a living, and maybe we should do that first, because maybe you don't have the freedom to say, okay, let's go on tour and do da 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 for so many weeks. But, you know, maybe touch on that.
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, I live in Illinois, and I'm a full-time teacher. I'm a high school orchestra director out here. And the high school level usually means a lot of extracurriculars after school, which is true for me. I have, like, I sponsor, like,
you have no lives.
And then on top of that, I'm like in a community orchestra because I said yes to that. I'm like, I have to remind myself, like, I said yes. And then I recently joined another music project that was for my my cousin's uncle. My husband's uncle and he's doing a music project. And so now I'm doing that until the end of the summer. It's like,
so do you meet in person or do you practice on Zoom?
I meet them in person when I can. And then they practice weekly. Sorry. I don't want to speak for everybody since I'm like never there anymore during the school year.
We try to meet when we can. Yeah. It's usually once a week, but I mean, obviously Colleen's got an extra hour of commute time. So she comes when she can. But she's so good at improv. Like, she can just pick up what she needs and just does really well whenever we practice. It's awesome.
Well, bless you for being an orchestra director. I was an auditorium and theater director for 40-some years, two of which is at school. So I understand what goes into it. And then, of course, I had like 60 events a year in my theater. So and like orchestra, things like that. So it's crazy. So bless you for hanging in. Yeah, I know. No rest for the wicked, which means I must be incredibly wicked. So.
You're usually busier in retirement.
Well, this is retirement right here. You're looking at it. So, my wife says,
Larry also can't say no. Larry says yes to everything.
I've learned to keep my portfolio thin, though. But yeah, it's sometimes true. So, my wife says I failed retirement. So, I guess that's okay. Not bad for an old guy, you know, as I guess that. So, anyway, I guess let's take a listen to the title track on here. Tell us a little bit about that, and we'll set it up and play that.
So this is Nocturnal Dive. This is kind of an ode to all of our favorite dive bars. I personally like to drink and I kind of like bar culture. And, you know, it's sort of it's a song about camaraderie. And I grew up in like a church background. So the motif of communion sort of rings true. And comparing that to like an ashtray, I thought was kind of interesting.
Right. Well, let's take a listen to that. This is the title track on their new album, Nocturnal Dive, and this is the Hellpounds, so take a listen.
Oh, Nocturnal Dive, it's a place to confide in a stranger you met not 5 minutes prior, to confessing your sins while you ash in a tray. Pass it down the bar like an offering plate. It's like taking communion under the neon. In the morning, we'll forfeit our promises we made on a whim. Oh, Nocturnal Dive, won't you let me in? I've got so much to hide, but you spare your judgment. We've been taking communion under the neon. In the morning, we'll forget our promises and make them again and again. We'll be taking communion again and again. Yeah, I'll take communion again and again. We'll be taking communion again and again. Yeah, I'll take communion again. Taking communion again. union again.
And that was Nocturnal Dive, Hellhounds, which are our guest today on Art on the Air. And after a brief pause, we'll return to our guest today. We'd like to thank you for listening to Art on the Air. Our show relies on the support of not only our show underwriters, but also our listeners who make donations to this station. Your support of this station will ensure Art on the Air may continue bringing you the best of the arts and culture programming for Northwest Indiana and beyond. If Art on the Air is important to you, please consider supporting this station with a one-time contribution or even making an ongoing sustaining contribution. For information on how to make a contribution, go to this station's website or our show website, breck.com/AOTA. And thank you. And now we return to our guest on Art on the Air.
Boy, that's full of so much information, Nocturnal Dive.
Yeah.
My favorite one off the album.
Really? Absolutely.
I have to buttress Josiah's. It kind of complements what he was talking about. My dad was he's passed, but he was a preacher his whole life.
Oh.
So obviously, preacher's kid. So horrible person. But like he was amazing. He was pretty much what you would want to believe as an honest preacher. But when I realized he's not actually talking about church, but he has a lot of church references in it.
Right.
So for me, the church references just made me think of him, because when he released it, when he wrote it and we were working on it, was the year my dad died of cancer. So it was just really that one kind of brought it home to me. And I absolutely love that one. I understand it's about bars and my dad would probably not be okay with bars, but it just really just the duality of it between the church references and the bar, and I spent a lot of time in bars with these guys as well. It would just brought it home for me. That is, and then the way the song runs, Colleen and I playing against each other at the end of the song really kind of just makes it my favorite song. Love it.
Right. It's kind of hard because with that one, I do get carried away with the music, and yes, I'm hearing the lyrics for sure, but it's another gorgeous song.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of which, Esther just in our chat decided we're going to put the recycling Never Saved Any Sea Turtles, and we're going to add that to here, those two. Tell us a little bit about that. I saw Jonathan really give us a thumbs up on that. Tell us about
this. This song has the coolest violin run.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
We did a double fiddle run, y'all.
Oh, yeah. And she did it in one take. It wasn't a layer. She...
Wow.
What?
She might not. I'm just kidding. She did not do that.
Yeah. It turns out I have a double. Yeah. No.
Like Michelangelo Baddio.
You can't see on the Zoom for the listeners, but I was making sure that everyone thought I had more fingers than I do, and I don't. And we did it in multiple takes.
That's right.
So don't be jealous of me, everyone.
Well, that's okay.
I'm totally jealous.
Well, let's quickly take a listen to that. It's Recycling Never Saves Any Sea Turtles with our guest today, Hellhounds.
They say sailors take warning on a red, red morning. On one such as this, I was waking up anxious. The sky looked like it had just been decapitated. The tide gets closer and the sand's up to your shoulders, 'cause you've buried your head, though you carry the burden of knowing. Sleep tight, my baby, my darling. Sleep while you can in the eye of the storm. Yes, sleep while you can in the eye of the storm. Take flight, we only go higher. This plane that we built, it was not made to land. This plane that we built, it ain't never coming down. Well, the window's all open and the passengers all floating, and the zealots say Jesus himself has come back. But it's not that kind of rapture, it's the kind you crash and burn. Sleep tight, my baby, my darling. Sleep while you can in the eye of the storm. Yeah, sleep while you can in the eye of the storm. Don't fight it, don't fight it. It'll only destroy you. Run and be snared by the traps you've set. Yeah, run and be snared by the traps you've set. of the storm.
And that was Halcones, our guest today on Art in the Air, Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM. That's a great great song. We wanted to squeeze in a third one.
A very cool sea shanty sort of feel to it.
Yeah.
And I would just like to be clear, recycling does make a difference, and people do need to recycle.
Right.
The title of the song is ironic.
It's a cheeky bit of fatalism, that's all.
Yeah.
My stepdaughter started us on recycling before they had recycling pickup where you'd gather it and have to actually drive it to the recycling place a long time ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's old school.
That's dedicated. Well, you know, we're coming up. Well, we only have about 3 or 4 minutes left. I want to give you a chance to talk about, you know, future things going on. Also, how people can find you, find your music, and, you know, go ahead and reiterate some of the upcoming gigs you have. Tell us the dates and things.
Yeah, you can find us on any streaming platform, Apple Music, Spotify, Deezer, YouTube. We got a lot of stuff on YouTube. Like I said, we have a show on May 2nd at Burnham Brewing. We also got
partly sponsored by James Neary, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's for
fundraiser, right?
Yeah.
James is awesome.
Ever think about doing a collaboration with him, by the way, since you threw that name out?
I would love to.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before. We've touched on it, you know.
Just scheduling. It's always difficult.
That is true.
We might have him fill in on violin for certain things that Colleen might not be able to make, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We're doing Pets and Pores on May 17th also, which is the raising money for the Michiana Humane Society, which we always have a good time playing.
Hell Pounds. The name fits.
Yeah.
Right.
We've been shoehorned into that
one. Kind of pigeonholed, yeah.
And then one I'm really excited for is July 5th. We're playing Acorn Midwest Made.
Yes. Love the Acorn.
They always put on a good show. There's such great people there, and they really have an appreciation for music. So,
is that an indoor or outdoor one?
I believe it's
weather permitting, it's outdoors.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because their theater is great. I would gladly play indoors.
Yeah, the theater.
Yeah.
Is really the other thing is, I was going to ask, and I wanted to get this in there earlier in the show, but I want to give you a chance. We only have a couple minutes left. What do you guys do? We already know what Colleen does, but what do you guys do for away from Hell Pounds?
I'm a construction worker, plumber.
Okay.
Tradesman.
Good for you. We all need those people.
Yeah, I guess.
Josiah.
You totally do.
I so wish I would have done that.
I make videos. I do promotional videos and things like that.
Excellent. Jonathan?
I do everything. So I am obviously a cellist with these guys. I teach cello for students. I'm also a personal trainer at F45 here in Valpo, and I'm also a private chef.
Wow.
And Zach.
I'm an accounting manager for a construction company here in Northwest Indiana. So
count the money. There we go.
Yep.
Well, we only have less than a minute left, but I was going to actually do a play out with you guys, one of your songs there. But we appreciate you coming on Art of the Air, sharing your music journey with us and everything about yourselves. And again, you could find them all on any platform, Spotify, et cetera, et cetera. And please lend your support. We love having local bands on. It's always great to have you. Thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing not only your personal journey, but your music journey.
Thanks so much for having us.
This is awesome.
Thank you for Nocturnal Dive. It's a great first album.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Art on the Air is also heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. If you have a smart speaker like Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or Apple Siri, just tell it to play Art on the Air to hear the latest episode. Our spotlight interviews are heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Media. Thanks to Dee Dotson, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Media, and to Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Lakeshore Public Media, Ember Forge Consulting, Thoughtful Marketing and Digital Learning, built to express your purpose and grow your reach. Learn more at emberforgeconsulting.com/grow. And for WVLP, Walt Reitinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art in the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. BRECH.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know. Esther and Larry, Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show.